WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
This is All of It. I'm Tiffany Hansen in for Allison Stewart. This morning, the nominees for the 77th Annual Tony Awards were announced. It was a particularly crowded season of theater with 12 Broadway shows opening within just 9 days in order to make the Tony nomination deadline. And also, the nominations were, conversely, relatively spread out. 28 out of 36 eligible shows received at least one nomination. The two big winners of the day are the new musical Hell's Kitchen, which is loosely based on the life of singer Alicia Keys, and the new play Stereophonic, about a band coming together to record an album during a tumultuous period. Each of those shows picked up 13 nominations. There's a lot to talk about. With us is Vulture's theater critic Jackson McHenry, who has had a very busy season of Broadway to review. Jackson, hi.
Hi, it's been exhausting. Me and Sarah, our other critic, are just, you know, our lower backs are really working hard.
Thank you for going into the fray for us. Listeners, we want to hear from you. What's your favorite Broadway show that you've seen this season? What do you think about the Tony nominations? Do you have strong opinions? 212-433-9692. 212-433-9692. You can call us. You can text us at that number as well. 12 shows opening in a 9-day stretch. That seems really crowded, Jackson. Is that a normal thing to see in any given season?
It's pretty typical for there to be a lot of shows that try to open right before the Tony's deadline, with the logic that the voters will better remember you if they've seen you most recently. But it's especially crowded this year. I think it's a combination of anxiety over the sort of COVID era return to theaters, and that much more sort of emphasis put on whatever publicity you can get. And that way, meaning producers are like, we gotta be in the mix for the Tonys, and everyone trying to sort of cram up against each other. I think it's made it ultimately much harder for shows to stand out. But you can sort of see the underlying thinking behind it.
Yeah, right. I also mentioned that the nominations are pretty spread out. Now, what I mean by that is, right, there are 28 out of 36 eligible shows that received at least one nomination. Does that just mean there's really a whole bunch of great material out there right now? Is that also pretty common, unusual? Are we seeing some sort of like rise in quality this season versus others?
I think certainly the nominators have done a good job of spreading the wealth, which sometimes doesn't always help happen. Mm-hmm. But it's also an artifact of, I think, if you look at the best new musical race, which is typically sort of the most heated Tony race, there isn't a clear front runner. All of the nominees, Hell's Kitchen, Illinois, Suffs, The Outsiders, Wild for Elephants, they have sort of things that could put them to an advantage or disadvantage. There isn't one that has sort of taken a hold of the narrative in the same way it has for the other categories. And I think that's also indicated in the nominations.
So the Hell's Kitchen is based on the story of singer Alicia Keys. You also just mentioned Suffs. That just opened, right? Fairly recently?
It was off-Broadway a while ago. It's by Shana Taub, about the suffrage movement.
Right.
But she did a lot of work revising it in between. It had a sort of big change over its creative team, and it's also just recently opened. So.
And the producers behind that are names that folks might recognize, right? Hillary Clinton, Malala Yousafzai. There are also some big names that got nominations this time around. Daniel Radcliffe for Merrily We Roll Along, Rachel McAdams for Mary Jane, Jeremy Strong from Succession, right? For An Enemy of the People. I mean, this list goes on. Eddie Redmayne for Cabaret. Now, I've been seeing a lot about that. What I'm wondering is are there just so many big stars headed to Broadway? Again, I feel like, are we just seeing a lot of weird anomalies, or is there a reason why all of these big names are suddenly showing up on Broadway?
I think it's partially that at this moment in time, you sort of need to be an event to sell tickets more so than you could be in the past in some ways. So it's sometimes it's just you need that part of the investment is we need a big star to get people to the theater. And in some ways, it's interesting. For instance, Uncle Vanya, which just opened with Steve Carell, he wasn't nominated. And it did It got sort of fairly mixed reviews. He got relatively positive reviews among its sort of mixed reception, but it was William Jackson Harper, who plays Astroff, the doctor. He's been on The Good Place. He's still a familiar name, but he was nominated. And so it's not necessarily a sort of seal that you're famous, come in, welcome, we love you, thank you for coming, here's a nomination. But it's certainly a way to get audiences, to stand out, to either have a name attached as a producer, as is the case for Suffs, or even The Outsiders, Angelina Jolie is a producer for some reason. I mean, she's fairly interested in the material and working on it, but it certainly helps just to sort of get the people in the door,
Right. And then there are differences, right, between sort of small screen big names and Broadway big names. And sometimes they cross. I'm thinking of Sarah Paulson, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
But as you say, it doesn't necessarily guarantee that something is going to A, be a success, or B, be, you know, a commercial success, but also a Tony nominated production.
Mm-hmm. I think certainly. And then you can look at something like Stereophonic, which got the most nominations ever for a play. And that has a cast of Sarah Pigeon has been on sort of, and some of the Juliana Canfield has been on Succession. Sarah Pigeon has been on like The Wilds, but they're not big, big name stars. They're all relatively less familiar to people as theater actors, but the material and the production is so good that it's still gotten this attention.
We got a text here, Jackson. It says, Suffs, with a big exclamation point. Not only is it well-written and interesting, it does what theater is supposed to do. It makes you think and ponder. What did you think and ponder about Suffs?
I thought it was an interesting, exciting moment for Suffs because we've seen a lot of musicals this season that had not sort of very, very muddy lyrics, I felt like, not sort of great, well-composed scores. And Shayna Taub is a real pro at writing songs and writing pieces. And she has a real sense of how to create distinctive work for all of the different characters. And it's a sort of survey. She plays Alice Paul, who is a woman who organized a crucial march on Washington for the movement and helped get the amendment through. But there's all sorts of different characters that you meet along the way. And it's sort of great to see her orchestrate that through her writing.
Mm. I mentioned that the nominations were pretty spread out, but talking about these shows that picked up 13 nominations, the big, quote unquote, big winners of the day, right? These were in nominations, in terms of nominations. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The shows Stereophonic and Hell's Kitchen. What is it about those two productions that really made them stand out in this field?
I think partially if you're just looking at the total number of nominations, they're productions that have very high quality production value in a sense. Mm-hmm. Hell's Kitchen, I remember sitting there in the theater and thinking, for all my sort of quibbles about the book of that show, that it just sounds incredible. that it has like the bass is pumped up really high. You get the energy is there, and that's reflected in sort of the nomination, like sound design and production design and that kind of thing. And then for Stereophonic, it's also because Stereophonic is a play about a band very much like Fleetwood Mac recording an album. And so it has original score, and it got nominated for that, and orchestrations, which are not typically available to plays unless they have music. And so that was sort of a recognition there, that they sort of the fine-tuning of these shows. And Stereophonic, like five of their actors were nominated, which is pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. All as featured roles. They didn't have anyone as their lead. It's all ensemble, which is an impressive gambit.
And Hell's Kitchen, you know, if you don't know who Alicia Keys is, you can still go and have a great experience, right?
You can go, and you, I mean, if you don't know who Alicia Keys is, I can find it hard to imagine that there's anyone in New York who hasn't heard Empire State of Mind, which they play at the end of the show, even just from a pedicab on the street,
right?
Playing it. And so that loops into it. And then like Malia Joy Moon, who's the lead, who plays the sort of young Alicia Keys analog, is a really great, exciting discovery. And so she was nominated.
You were talking about the ensemble cast in Stereophonic. We have a text here. Suffs also had an awesome ensemble, all deserving of recognition. Hannah Cruz, Emily Skinner, Jen Colella, Grace McLean, and more. What's the difference between, from an audience member's perspective, when I go and get invested in a show, how is the experience different when it focuses on, say, somebody like Alicia Keys, or it's just more focused on an ensemble cast and really it becomes then, I would assume, more about the storytelling? How is that a different theater-going experience? Or is it?
I think it's interesting to see, for instance, among the musical nominees, there's lots of things that are based on either people's lives, like Alicia Keys's, or existing, like Illinois is based on an album, and it's sort of reimagining it in a really interesting and inventive way, but it's a kind of different approach than Suffs is just looking at history. And Outsiders and Water for Elephants are looking at well-known books that have also been adapted into movies. And so I think there's a lot of there, you can come in very different directions on sort of what you're doing with the original material, whether it's someone's life, whether it's the music, whether it's writing, and sort of how you're trying to illuminate it in a different way on stage, can lead to lots of different approaches.
We got a text about music. Heart of Rock and Roll, the Huey Lewis jukebox musical, got nothing, not unexpectedly, but it's a fun show with a lot of talent. Just wanted to give it a shout out. Did you see the Heart of Rock and Roll? And also, do you have that song in your head right now?
I do. I saw the Heart of Rock and Roll. I gave it a pretty positive review. I had a very fun time. It is a really funny, charming book. But it just sort of, you know, amid everything else, didn't quite stand out, and it's sort of too bad. As it can happen. I mean, something else like The Who's Tommy, which only got one nomination. Patriots, a play, which only got one nomination. Things can just get lost in the noise when there's so much opening at once. And if you're not a cut above, if you don't have that level of attention, it sort of can get lost in the churn, which is too bad.
Mm. Want to ask you about women directors, noting that of the five nominees for Best Direction of a Musical, four are women. Women directing Merrily We Roll Along, Suffs, as we've been talking about, Water for Elephants, and The Outsiders. Does this represent some sort of seismic change?
I think it is pretty remarkable. It's also in the direction of a play. There are three women nominated out of the five. Which is a pretty big change from, 10 years ago, it would be much, much rarer. I mean, I think it's certainly a long way to go, but it is a sign that these women are getting more opportunities, and a lot of them are also not necessarily one-offs, in the sense that, you know, these are people, sometimes in your career, you can have a miss and not get a chance again, and these are people. Jessica Stone directed Kimberly Akimbo last year. These are people who are hopefully going to be working more and more, and in that sense also having the opportunity to tutor another generation of people of any gender to get more work, and hopefully it sort of establishes a snowball effect.
Do you think there are more nominations just simply because perhaps theater is a better place for women directors to get a toehold, as opposed to film or, you know, television?
I think that there's been a lot of push for change in all three categories. And these are often people who work in different mediums. So I don't know. I mean, it would be nice. A theater often tries to pride itself on being progressive and sometimes does not live up to that. So it's nice to see it doing so here. But I don't know if it's necessarily completely shifted.
So one of the big awards that's given out at the Tonys every year is, of course, Best New Musical. The nominees this year were Hell's Kitchen, Illinois, The Outsiders, Suffs, and Water for Elephants. Any surprises for you on that list?
That, I think, is sort of the expected collection. I think there was, you know, an outside chance that something like The Notebook, which was another book/movie adaptation, would make it in, but it seemed to get the sort of less positive reviews of the group, of the sort of three. And something like Days of Wine and Roses, which got nominations for its actors, might have also had an outside chance. But these are what feel like the front runners. And what's interesting is it's sort of hard to know from here which of them has the most edge over the other. They all have things to their advantage and disadvantage when you're looking at it in terms of what people might vote for and what people might prioritize and what they're looking for from a musical. And so it'll be interesting for the month of campaigning ahead to see how they position themselves.
Well, Jackson, we've just hit the big giant red record button, so we're going to get you on record here. If you had to pick a winner for Best New Musical from that list, it would be...
I'm putting my finger in the air and thinking potentially Suffs. It feels
really?
Like it
okay.
has the sort of energy of a new thing. It's not sort of big IP. People know Shana Taub. People are excited about it. That's where I might break. But I think The Outsiders and Hell's Kitchen in Illinois all have things for themselves going, and Water for Elephants will have a harder road to go, even though I did like the elephant puppet.
So Suffs came in at the last minute, got in under the wire, and to your point about being last in, first out, you know, it's...
Well, technically, Illinois was the very last,
yeah,
but
right.
still, it's all there.
Left off the list is Lempicka. Anything to say about that?
I mean, it's interesting, ambitious musical that I think was a swing and then just didn't quite connect. Watching it, it's about this Art Deco artist. There's a lot there, but it just didn't quite come together.
Yeah.
I was excited to see that Eden Espinosa, who is wonderful as their star, was nominated. And she is one of, in a fun fact, three women who have all played Elphaba in Wicked who are all nominated. Her, Shoshana Bean in Hell's Kitchen, and Lindsay Mendez in Merrily We Roll Along.
We will leave it there. Jackson McHenry, Vulture's theater critic, talking about the Tony Award nominations announced today. Jackson, thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Taking us out of the show today, we have some fun Tony-related news to share. Will Butler, who is the songwriter behind Stereophonic, is now nominated, as we mentioned, for a Tony for Best Original Score. He's also one of our Public Song Project special guest contributors. So we thought, what a better way to mark this Tony news than by debuting his song, which originally comes from a 100-year-old Broadway show. Butler is formerly a member of the band Arcade Fire, now performs with the group Will Butler and Sister Squares. For his contribution to the Public Song Project, he and the band recorded The Man I Love by George and Ira Gershwin from the 1924 Broadway musical Lady Be Good. Will told us about his song choice. My grandma and her sisters used to sing it, also my grandpa. Moved to New York City to be a jazz banjo guitar player as a teen in the year it was written, listeners, you still have time to get involved in the Public Song Project yourself. The deadline for that is May 12th. You can go to wnyc.org/public-song-project for more information on how to submit. You can also stream all the songs that we've aired so far on our website, including the full version of The Man I Love by Will Butler and Sister Squares. So happy listening and happy recording. Here's a little Will Butler.
Someday he'll come along, the man I love, and he'll be big and strong.
That's Will Butler, The Man I Love. It's part of our Public Song Project. Easy for me to say. The deadline for that is May 12th. Go to wnyc.org/public-song-project for more info.
Hey, go-getters, Let Noom Sport Hydration Tablets power up your fun and keep you ready to move. Simply drop, dissolve, and enjoy crisp and refreshing flavors like strawberry lemonade or lemon lime. With 5 essential electrolytes and crafted with clean, non-GMO, vegan, and gluten-free ingredients, Noom should be your go-to hydration choice. Because when you're hydrated, you can do more, go further, and recover quicker. Shop now on noonlife.com and get ready for endless fun, because anything can happen after noon.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.